You better treat her as a daughter of the king. You better treat her as a fellow heir. You better not take this verse and twist it in your sinfulness and lord over your wife. That's not what this is saying. If you do, it hinders your prayers. That's your whole relationship with the Lord.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a note from Michael from Wisconsin. He writes, please continue your solid Bible teaching on VCY in Milwaukee. Thank you. Well, Michael, that's our intent, and as long as the Lord has the door open for us, as long as he provides, we desire to be on the air in Milwaukee and in so many other cities the Lord has opened the doors to. So thank you, and just pray for us, pray for God's provision. Pray that he continues to supply so that his word will go out. And again, thank you.
Greg, today you'll be teaching on a subject that some might see as quite controversial.
And Dave, that subject is submission. And I think each and every one of us know that when we're not abiding in Jesus Christ, when we're not trusting in him, submission is impossible from a right heart. Okay, so what am I talking about? Well, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. And we're looking at verses 18 and 19 concerning the marriage relationship.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Proverbs 18:22, we share the men. Hey, if you feel led, you got to find a wife. I'm not saying make that your focus, but you're not going to find a wife if you're not around the wives you could find, right? You want to be around those who love the Lord, who are walking with the Lord, who are trusting him, obeying, and their focus is Jesus. Don't be around those in these youth groups we see today that's all about dating and relationships and all this stuff. Stay away from that junk. You focus on Jesus Christ. And God just might put someone nearby you that's focusing on him too. You trust him. You focus on him. Now we'll see this in a little bit. That marriage also is a picture of Christ's love for the church. So with this foundational understanding, recognizing God is the one who has ordained marriage, and he is the one who joins two together. Let's get back to our passage. Look at some basic commands. He says, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Well, that's a simple statement. The term be subject to hupotasso in Greek. Hupo means under. Tasso means to arrange or order. It means to order under, to line up under someone's authority in a sense. It was used as a military term of soldiers lining up under their commanding officer. Thus, soldiers submitting to their superior officers. It's the idea of lining up under the authority of someone else that is ordained. Now, this word does not address personhood at all. It addresses position. Biblical submission is an ordering under, a lining up under. It is subjection to God's authority that he has ordered for different relationships. Submission is not a new concept introduced by chauvinistic men to keep their women down. It's clearly a spirit-inspired command, and we see that God has ordained submission in many other relationships. For instance, we are all to submit to government. Romans 13, verse 1, let every person be in subjection, hupotasso, to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those who exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists the authority has opposed the ordinance of God. Who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 2, submit yourselves to the Lord's sake to every human institution. Whether as to the king, that was Nero at that time, as an one authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, this is 1 Peter 2:14, to the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Servants are to be submissive to their masters. Titus 2:9, urge bond slaves to hupotasso their own masters, to be subject to their own masters in everything. Now, something that's similar right now is the work relationship. Your boss says do that, you do it. You be subject to him in everything. To be well-pleasing, not argumentative. not pilfering, but showing good faith that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. That was Titus 2:9. 1 Peter 2:8. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle. I hear it so often, I'm such a jerk boss or whatever it might be, and then the attitude is like, I don't really need to submit in that kind. Well, that's wrong. We're to submit to those in authority over us. He says, but also to those who are unreasonable, for this finds favor if for the sake of conscience towards God a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. It's clear that young men are to submit to their elders. 1 Peter 5:5, younger men likewise be subject to your elders. In Ephesians 5:24, the church is hupotasso to Christ. So also wives to their own husbands and everything. We know that when we are worldly, we are often not submitting to God. We know that when we got conflict, we know it's because of our own desires. And we know in that context that we are to allow God's grace to lead us. He gives a greater grace. We're to submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from us, James chapter 4. And so we see submission is all throughout. There are ordered relationships throughout Scripture. So back in ours, it says, wives, you are to order under your husbands. Now, and we'll talk about that. There's some qualifications from other passages so we understand this rightly, so it's not misinterpreted and misconstrued. It's God's sovereign command. The verb is in a present imperative command. It's not suggesting it. If you're a believer, God's not suggesting this. It's not your choice to submit to your own husband, because if you don't, you're outright disobeying God. It says keep on submitting. And I think women want to do the right thing in Christ. If you're in Jesus and you're following him, you're not struggling with this command. You're struggling with actually the application of it. You recognize it's true, you believe it, but yet there are times where it's hard to do so. It really says keep on submitting. You're to voluntarily, in the context of submitting to the Lord, submit to your husband. You're to order yourself under in that context. And again, we'll talk about that. And this is not an isolated scripture. There are many other scriptures that reveal the same thing. Look at Ephesians 5:22, and you can hold your finger there after we leave it again because we'll come back to it. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, you'll see that's in italics. It's pulling the verb grammatically from the verse before, and that applies absolutely right. That's what's intended in the original language. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. And turn to 1 Peter 3, and we'll keep your finger there too. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. So that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they might be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. There's one other passage we want to look at, Titus chapter 2. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage or place into the mind, help them think rightly, the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, and within all of that, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now, this passage is in either a passive or middle voice. It's the same form. What does that mean? You're not actively submitting, you're yielding in submission. You're choosing to yield. You're not saying, I'm going to submit. I'm going to force myself to submit. No, you're yielding your heart up to submit to that. It's a reflexive or passive. So with that in mind, you are to yield to the authority of your husband in the context of yielding to the authority of Christ. Now, does submission make you anything less? Does that make you a doormat? Does that make you something that's less than your husband? Does that make you less than that? Wives, you are equal to your husbands. God has given you God-ordained differing roles. Peter makes it clear that in 1 Peter 3:7, that wives are fellow heirs of the grace of life. You better treat your wife rightly. You better treat her as a daughter of the king. You better treat her as a fellow heir. You better not take this verse and twist it in your sinfulness and lord over your wife. That's not what this is saying. If you do, it hinders your prayers. That's your whole relationship with the Lord. Does submission make you anything less? Well, if it does, then you got a problem because Jesus submitted to the Father. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man and the man is the head of every woman and God is the head of Christ. in his role in coming here to die for our sins, and the roles that the Trinity, one God, three persons, have decided within the Godhead, Christ was submissive to the Father. God is the head of Christ. So there's nothing demeaning in ordered relationships. There's nothing demeaning at all. If you say that, then you're demeaning Christ. If you think that. Women are thus commanded in the context of spiritual equality, and that you see the equality in the context of there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, in the context of salvation. Now, it doesn't take away your Jewness or your maleness or your femaleness. It means in salvation, you're equal in that context. So then women are voluntarily commanded to submit, to yield to their own husband's authority. Pastor writes, so what's the meaning of hupotasso? Does it mean your wife is a slave to obey your every command? Does it mean you treat her like a child? No. If there's a man who thinks for a second they have superiority in God's eyes over their wife, they are gravely mistaken from God's word. However, wives, choose to put yourself underneath the headship of your husband in order that the design that God has brought forth in his word would be brought forth. It takes away nothing from the dignity of a woman to submit. Rather, it enhances her as she obeys the Lord. I agree with that. Something else to recognize, Scripture does not command wives anywhere to obey their husbands. It doesn't command that. It commands submit to your husbands. Now, within that, we see that we are to obey Christ. You're not to obey like commands from your husband, but you're to submit to their authority in that context, right? And you'll see that. Now, I want to add one caveat. Sadly, many husbands will wrongly demand rather than graciously, lovingly exhorting and admonishing their wives to do what's right in the Lord, to submit in that context. One caveat here, biblical submission doesn't mean that you disobey God if your husband wants you to sin. That's not biblical submission at all. You must obey God. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, when Peter and the apostles were told to stop teaching in the name of Jesus, the answer was we must obey God rather than man. We stopped speaking of Jesus, sorry, we got to obey God rather than man. Book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told to bow down and worship the image of gold of Nebuchadnezzar that he had made, and they would not do so. Now to raise a caveat within a caveat here, in the book of Daniel, when Daniel was told, chapter 1, to eat the king's choice food, he determined not to defile himself. And obviously the food that was given to him was not allowed within Levitical law, okay? Yet God's favor was upon him in that decision. You can read that passage. Yet Daniel didn't say to his superiors, no way, I'm eating that food. He didn't demand anything. He was wise about these sub-issues, not on the level being not told to speak of Jesus or not to order worship idols. It wasn't on that level, the sub-issues. And what does he do? He wisely negotiates with those appointed over him not to eat this food. And I would encourage wives to wisely negotiate with your husbands in areas in which it may not be sin, or maybe sin that's on the line, whatever it might be. There should be an interaction within husbands and wives. There should be a loving interaction, right? Any husband that doesn't listen to his wife when she's saying what God wants her to say is foolish. Now, you don't listen to your voice to your wife when they're sinning. Adam did the wrong thing there, right? You know, because you listen to her. But when they are following the Lord and speaking in the context of a relationship with him, you need to listen to what they're saying. So what's my point? Yes, we obey God rather than man. But when husbands ask you to sin, you don't do it. If you are married to a non-believer and he's saying, you cannot go to church, you say, honey, I love you, and let's work out some way where I can be back here, but I'm going to go to church. And I love you, you're my priority, but my first priority is the Lord, and I'm going to do what's right with the Lord, but how can I work this out? What times are best for you? How can we work this out? Will this be best for you? There's not a demanding or evil in that context. Try to negotiate. Don't be confrontational. You know, abandon the quarrel before it breaks out, right? You know, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up strife. You know, if you come to someone harshly, no, I'm not going to do that because God says this, you know, those are harsh words. Stirs up strife. But you need to do the right thing. Sadly, I've seen time after time those who would have non-believing husbands who they submit to them in areas where they are not to. They should be in the body of Christ. They should be worshiping. They should be focused on Christ, obeying that. And they need to be gracious how they go about that, but that's where you wouldn't submit. When you're told not to worship Jesus, when you're told not to speak of him, it's time to graciously do what is right in the context of that relationship. Okay, back to our passage. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, and notice the reason. The first reason is that it's a command, right? God commands it. First reason. Second reason, he says, as is fitting in the Lord. The term fitting means proper or right. As is proper. When you become a new creation, the basis of all your relationships changed. You are now in the Lord. And you are now to be ordered under His ordained orders for every relationship. It is as He sees fit for your benefit and blessing. God is a God of order, and it is the right thing to do. It is proper and fitting in the Lord to walk in the order that He has ordained. It says, as is fitting. This is the right thing. And indeed, a lack of submission to His ordained order fits a fallen and corrupt world. But for believers, as is fitting, to submit, to order yourself under your husband's authority in the Lord. And we'll talk about some things and some things later on. We say, what about if he does this? What if he does that? We'll talk about that. Because when you obey God, all of heaven is on your side. The eyes of the Lord look to and fro that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. You remember, He is on your side when you do what is right. Now, Scripture provides some other biblical reasons. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and I've talked about this. But the marriage relationship is a picture of Christ's love for the church. Ephesians 5:22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Again, it's you submitting to the Lord, really, in that context. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives are to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are all members of one body. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is great, but I'm speaking in reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you love his own wife even as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband. And so we see this picture. It's also a picture to those who don't believe. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to see that the gentle beauty of quiet submission is a witness to an unbelieving spouse. 1 Peter chapter 3, in the same way as Christ relied on the Father, He kept entrusting Himself to the one who judges righteously. As He obeyed the Father and did not revile in return, uttered no threats, but offered Himself up in the context of God's will for us, the same way as Christ, wives, 1 Peter 3, be submissive, that's the same word, to your own husbands, not someone else's husband, your own husband, so that even if, now this isn't even if, this is not the only purpose, but it's a purpose Peter puts in here. So that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, that would speak of a non-believer, that they may be one with what? Without a word. By the behavior of their wives. As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, and let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Now, that only happens when you're trusting the Lord. When it's not there, then you're not trusting. You've got to get back and focus on Him and trust Him. He says, for in this way, in former times, holy women also, who hoped in God. And by the way, it's going to talk about Sarah. Sarah kind of blew it here and there. So did Abraham, right? But they grew in the Lord. And they're examples. It says here, holy women who also hoped in God, so adorn themselves, at least to put on adornment in being submissive to their own husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children, spiritual children in that sense, if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So here, submission is a beautiful adornment. It's beautiful. It's God-ordained when you hope in the Lord. You can't submit unless you're hoping in God, by the way. If you're hoping in your husband to change, I'll tell you, you got problems. Hope in the Lord and let the Lord do his work and do and obey him, okay? One last passage, Titus chapter 3. Let's turn our Titus chapter 3. We see another reason why you should be obeying this command. First of all, obviously it's a command, but these are reasons. One, it's a reflection to the world. Second, it's a reflection in that people might be saved in seeing that, right? And then third, here we see it's very important. Titus 2:3, older women likewise to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind. Notice what he says here, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. The word is blasphemed, spoken against. You claim to follow Jesus and people look at you, how you relate to your husband or whatever it might be, and they say, what kind of God is that? What kind? They blaspheme the word of God. They blaspheme that, right? That the word of God may not be dishonored. You see, another reason to be doing what's right as a believer, whether it's submission to your husband, whether it's husbands loving your wives, whatever it is that the word of God may not be dishonored, blasphemed. It's serious. People speak against God and his word because of your actions. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. You remember what Paul spoke of concerning widows who were not obedient? 1 Timothy 5:14, therefore I want younger women to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. That's in the context of just going around being gossips. Not good. You don't want the word of God to be blasphemed. And if it has, confess your sin. We all fail. We all sin, right? If you say you have no sin, we're lying, right? Doesn't mean we're justifying sin. We want to be more like Christ. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, some of you women are saying, okay, God's commanded it. I know this all too well, but it's so hard and I fail so much. How do I do it? How do I do this? Well, as we're going to see, we need to recognize that submitting to your husband is the same thing as submitting to the Lord. You're submitting to his command in that context, those ordered relationships. Our flesh cries for our own rights, seeking to be sovereign, but yet we need to release our sovereignty to the Lord. We need to allow his word to dwell richly in us. We need to let his peace rule our hearts and minds. We need to set our mind on the things above. We need to allow his word to control our thoughts and actions. That's how you do it, by the Spirit of God. And indeed, we saw Ephesians 5 was parallel to Colossians chapter 3. The word dwelling richly is parallel to being controlled or filled with the Spirit. God's Spirit, by his word, controls us or fills us. You want to have that filling your heart and mind rather than your attitudes towards people or whatever someone has done to you. If anyone can proclaim it against anyone, forgive them, right? We saw that. You're angry. You got to let that go. The word of God saying, hey, I don't want to hold on to that. I give Satan a place. God's word is working in my heart, changing my attitude. I'm going to him. I'm anxious about it. So I pray, Lord God, my husband or my wife wants to do this or that. What do I do, Lord God? I come to you and ask you for help. I thank you that you'll help me.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, are wives to submit to their husbands in everything? What if their husband is calling them to sin?
Well, Dave, as I mentioned before and exemplified with some passages from the New Testament and the Old Testament, is that if a husband calls upon a wife to sin,
in no way is she to submit to that, because God is not calling upon wives to sin, but to obey the Lord in righteousness. So with this in mind, these commands are for us so that we would walk rightly in the ordered relationships that God has designed. Okay, well, with this in mind, we're not finished with our look at marriage, so stay with us as we conclude on tomorrow's broadcast.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.